I'm not sure if feeling tiny and insignificant is a good feeling, but that's probably how I'm feeling at the moment. I have just come up just 10 minutes walk from the rescue post at Gokyo, seen for the first time the absolutely ginormous glacier, which is behind Gokyo, the Ngozumbo glacier or something like that. Need to check my spelling and pronunciation, but it's massive. It's like the width of, I don't know, it's probably about a mile wide. I can see some people crossing it at the moment. They're about a third of the way across it and they look like tiny little dots. This big grey mass of boulders and stones and sand and ice. And if you listen really carefully, you probably won't be able to pick any of this up, but every few seconds there was a bit there, just like a little sound of rock fall or ice bits kind of chipping off and falling into the glacial melt ponds that have sprung up on the glacier as it warms up. So yeah, hopefully at some point I'm going to be crossing this to go on a bit of an adventure and explore. It's kind of funny seeing all of this amazing stuff that's around me and being, I don't want to say stuck because that's not the right word, but having a responsibility to be at the rescue posts. And I can't wait to get some days off in a row and be able to go and do some longer treks, because at the moment it's just been kind of an hour here and there. So it's been an interesting few days. I've had a few more unwell patients this week. I've been up in Gokyo, which is a slightly higher clinic, and it's not just a bit higher, it's also busier because it's kind of at the meeting point of a few different passes. So you get people coming over, one that's called the Chola Pass, the other one's the Renjola Pass, and then you also get people coming up straight up the valley via Machermo. So it's quite a busy place. One guy had come up to work in one of the lodges and he had developed sort of acute mountain sickness on arrival, and we needed to keep him in overnight to give him oxygen to relieve his headache, and we gave him steroids and things to treat the altitude illness. We advised him to go down and then make his way back up more slowly so that he might stand a chance of carrying on to work in the season. But he, in the end, stayed where he was, and he actually got better over the next couple of days. One of the big things that's happened recently for us and that's caused a bit of a stir is that up in Gokyo there's been a new clinic opened. So it's really, really close. It's about 50 metres from our clinic, and it just sprung up almost out of nowhere. A lot of the local lodge owners had no idea about it, or they'd heard rumours but they didn't know where it was going to be or who was going to run it or anything. It's running out of the ground floor of one of the lodges there. It's a branch of a big private clinic that's based in Kathmandu. So they have got a very similar set of prices to ours, but they're private. They're linked to a helicopter company. So we're just waiting to see what impact this is going to have. We've already noticed that we've got fewer patients because some of them are going to the private clinic. The private clinic has got a fancy sign. It's got a newly printed kind of material type sign outside, and also it's got a neon sign that lights up at night and is visible from all over the place. And being a sort of cash strapped charity, we've got little paper signs around the place and we're definitely not as visible. And the other thing is that our Gokyo clinic is kind of where our charity gets our money from. So if that clinic starts to suffer, then our whole charity will suffer from that. And there are some serious discussions going on back home to work out what to do, whether or not we actually maybe need to pull out of Gokyo, because we don't want to be the competition. We just want to provide good care for these for the locals and the porters and the trekkers. But if we're not wanted there and our finances are going to suffer, then we may just have to pull out. One of the really sad things is, of course, for us Westerners coming out here to do some voluntary work, for us it's really interesting. We get a lot out of it. We're learning a lot. But it's not our livelihood. But that's not the case for some people who are employed by our charity, by IPPG. So we've got a couple of permanent employees. One of them is Kancha, who's the post manager here, and he comes out twice a year for 3 months each time. So he works for 6 months a year for IPPG, and he gets a salary every month. And his salary goes towards paying for his children to go through good schooling and support the rest of his family. And he's been really worried ever since this whole thing has come up. He's about 40 now, and he's going to find it very difficult to find a new job, because apparently the job prospects in Nepal are terrible and people don't like to employ people who are older. So him being 40, he sees that as being older, and he sees his employment potential as being very, very low. So it's got a massive impact, this this whole thing, and it's really sad to see this this guy who enjoys his job and who gets a lot and who gives us a lot, being so upset and stressed about his it's just really sad to see him having such worries about the future just because of some private clinic that sprouted up. He's been working for the company, for the charity, sorry, for about 15 years so far, and he's come up here and done 25 seasons up at Machermo, so he's really experienced. He's got loads to offer, but he's just really worried that he doesn't have any future employment potential. Sad times. Good morning. It's 10 o'clock, and this morning it was really, really cold, and I think in the bedrooms it was about 1 degree. There was ice on the inside of the window. You could kind of really see your breath when you wake up, and the thing with that is you've got to be a bit careful that you don't tuck your head inside your sleeping bag, because if you do, you end up with a really wet, condensation-y area around the top of your sleeping bag, which is really horrible. So that's a kind of lesson learnt with that. And there's always a freshly made flask of tea waiting for us when we've got up, made by Kancha and Sameep. We can just sit outside for several hours, warming up and watching the sunrise and watching the view. The grass is all frosty, and then it kind of catches the sunlight and glistens in a really nice way. So it's just really, really beautiful. I'm going to miss this when I get home. If you like the podcast and you want to support it, then please like it, share it. You could subscribe to it, or you can even donate and find more information about the charities if you go to lowfatradio.com/doctor. Thank you.